He's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, State Senator Tony Huang. Senator, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. It's always good to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Senator, let's get started by giving us your viewpoint on this concessions deal that was approved along party lines in the state Senate on Monday.
Well, I think having a chance to reflect, I'm deeply disappointed in the passage of a unaffordable and unsustainable state union deal. And this deal will result in more and more job-killing tax hikes. I can guarantee it. This deal will result in slashing municipal and educational aid and forced property tax hikes increases. And this deal will hurt the very people we should be protecting in the institutions. Our vulnerable, our disabled, our seniors, they're going to be decimated and eliminated, just like I heard before I came on the program. Library services, critical quality of life issues that make our state so special are going to be hurt, because when you take one-third of the state budget and you lock it in until 2028, you've tied the hands of legislators who want to make changes for possible viability and growth and movement into the future. You've tied it into a legal contract. That's what I debated on, is the fact that if we're looking to make changes, we're in a crisis mode, there is nothing preventing us from going into the room and doing the things we need to. Why agree to a legally binding agreement that ties our hand and hurts the people that we are representing? And it's remarkable, because I think before I got into politics, people hated the idea of politics. What I've learned right now is that politics can make cowards of us all, that we are unwilling to be courageous and standing up and remember that we have a responsibility to represent the people. Remember when candidate Malloy was running, he says, we can't kick the can down the road, I've got to change things, we're not going to do business as usual. And in 2011, he agreed to a similar deal to what he agreed to this time, of no layoff provisions, increases down the road, and tying the hands of government institution inertia. And, you know, I remember when I was growing up, the idea of insanity is the fact that we continue to do the same things over and over and over again and expect a different result. We are in an insane mode in how we operate as a state. And this is not the state that I grew up learning the history of back in 1639. This is the state that was the lead of manufacturing in this world. The fact is, we have gone the wrong path, and we continue to go on it. And it's incredibly frustrating, and I will tell you, I'm trying to channel all that energy that I have into fixing what has to be done. What is done is done. I'm anxious to get back in to see how the Democrats and the governor's going to come and propose a budget that will not increase taxes, that will not cut municipal educational aid and picking winners and losers, and then how are they going to protect the most vulnerable? When you have in this agreement a no privatization deal, when you look at our private nonprofits that are struggling, who do the same job as some of the state services at potentially half the cost with the same quality and service and results, this agreement says no more privatization. We're going to hurt the people that need this the most. It's remarkable. It was audacious in thinking that we continue down this path without seeing the implications. And I'm ready to go to work, but I have to tell you, we're significantly hampered.
Well, again, I agree with that. There's no question. And I think one of the frustrations with the people, and we're out all the time, we see a lot of folks, is that they just don't see any change. And again, they will say to you, well, look, the people send the delegates, they do the election, they go in, they vote for who they want to vote for, and these folks that are doing this, you can't blame them. I mean, my God, they're looking out for themselves, but also they think that they're helping the people But there are a lot of people out there that are hurting, and the middle class in the state of Connecticut right now is not doing well at all. And I can't understand why there can't be a change. That's the big thing.
It's remarkable, Brad and Dan. And what makes your program so special is you are the voice of the people. When I spoke on the floor and I said, the regular Joes and Jills on Main Street, look at what state employees' benefits are, and they shake their heads. They're bewildered, and they get upset. I'll give you an example. Anybody who pays health insurance deductibles in the numbers of $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, when I say to them that under the wellness program, state employees pay zero in health insurance deductibles, and that they get benefits and education and time off, vacation time is remarkable. So what I'm saying is state employees work hard. They provide a critical service. But I'm asking for fairness. I'm asking for shared sacrifice and transparency. I would happily lay the state employees' benefits package next to yours, mine, and any organization, private employees, and make that comparison. They won't do it. They won't do it, Brad. They won't do it, Dan, because guess what? It is patently unfair. And you know who foots the bill? It is the Connecticut taxpayers. And who represents them? They should. Are the legislators who make policy. Can you believe we haven't voted on a labor contract in over 20-plus years? And that we finally voted on this? In the past, agreements like this, unless it's 18-18 in the Senate, doesn't get voted on. So when it doesn't get voted on and it goes slipping under the radar, 30 days after it's agreed to, it goes into effect.
Joining us again is State Senator Tony Huang. Senator, can the Democrats come up with a budget that does not raise taxes?
Well, I certainly would love to see it, but as I predicted, when you tie the hands of a third of our budget with a legally binding agreement, just as Roland did for 20 years with the labor agreement, just as when we agreed to the deal in 2011, I believe the union negotiator crowed to their members, the union members, is nobody in this country has this kind of an agreement of a no-layoff provision. And I think Lynn Fasano said the only other one that has a benefit package as rich as this in the labor negotiations was the NFL. The reality is this. I can't see how it's going to be done. And for anyone who voted for this union agreement, there is no politicking away. You cannot vote for a budget that includes taxes. But if you voted for this agreement, you pretty much sealed your fate. So the real challenge is, as I said, this deal will raise taxes, either income or sales taxes and fees, and it will hurt and cut municipal and educational aid. And ultimately, it's going to hurt the people that are most at risk and vulnerable, that don't have a voice. And that is my problem with this deal. There is nothing in regards to pitting unions versus corporations versus millionaires versus – I've said that when we use amorphous entities that no one can identify with and single out and have to look in the eyes of, it's easy to demonize them. And when we pass this agreement – we continue the blame game because it's going to be them versus us because there is no more easy solutions, and we have to make difficult solutions. We just handcuffed ourselves by agreeing to 10 years of this agreement, and it's unfortunate. It's disappointing, but I'll reiterate again, I'm going to channel all that energy to do what I can, but the first and foremost is people need to understand there's an obvious disconnect with what's happening in Hartford and what the people are feeling in my communities. People are hurting, and they've lost belief in their government leaders. So they have a chance to vote every election day. They need to have their voices be heard, because at the end of the day, they sincerely wish that their people are being represented.
Well, you know, Senator, I said yes. Everybody's saying it was close. It was close. The Republicans have done this and this. But you know something? It's the end run. And the end run, they made a touchdown, okay? And they've got the same thing, and all of us have, as we've had for years. I mean, to 27. I cannot believe that it is a contract that just goes on and on and on. Why can't we have negotiations with the unions every 2 years when we have those votes? Why can't we do it that way?
Brad, the fact is, when you look at municipal government, when you deal with municipal unions and the teachers, wages and benefits and other aspects are set by statute and negotiations. We took that off the table. We took the ability of legislators to represent the people that elected us. That is unconscionable. The other part of it is this. Close only works in horseshoes. Unless there is a majority that is in the legislature that speaks and represents the values of the people down on Main Street, the people that are hurting and lost belief. You know, I remember growing up and coming to this country, Proposition 13 in California that kind of propelled Ronald Reagan into the national spotlight. People said, I've had enough. I'm going to vote and I'm going to be present. We need to have that, because at the end of the day, you know, politics makes coward of us all, because at the end of the day, most of us are just simply looking to get elected. And if that is what's going to motivate people to do the right thing, the people have to speak. And I really am emotional about this, because I want to live in this state. I want my children to grow up in this state. I love this state. But the fact is, we make it harder and harder. And I hope we still have a chance.
Senator, you know, the unions will say that they've made sacrifices, and in fact, they reopened their contract when, in some cases, they didn't have to do that in certain areas. What do you say to that?
Without a doubt, as I said earlier, let's compare side by side. Let's take a private sector employee, let's take a private sector union employee, and let's take state employees' benefits packages. Let's lay them side by side, including salaries, including benefits and health insurance and pension. And let us make that estimate, make that comparison. And if they say they're making sacrifices that are fair to the taxpayers and the private sector unions, then so be it. But we're not making that comparison. So the fact is, when you don't pay a dollar for health care deductibles, when your copays are significantly lower, and when we have a package of a no layoff provision, regardless what happens to our state, who has that?
No.
You know, that's the point. So, yes, everybody makes concessions. Guess what? If I don't have a job, I'm not going to work to spend money. There are many men and women on Main Street that don't have a job. And when they hear that their tax dollars are still going to a no layoff provision, there's no fairness in that. Who's going to console the people who lost their jobs because their businesses have moved or have had to close?
Senator, we have about 30 seconds left. When do you think we'll have a state budget?
Well, I haven't seen one from the Democratic side yet, but the fact is, let's go back to it. Keep an eye out for this. There cannot be a budget without raising taxes, cutting municipal educational aid and picking winners and losers, and hurting the nonprofits that need us the most. Keep an eye out for that, because let's say it. Passing this union agreement does all three, and it's bad, bad, bad.
Thanks for the call.
Senator, great job as always. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you.